WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, January 27th. 2016, and we have one hot show in store for all of you out there. Today, we will start the show by talking about marijuana. Should it be legal in the NFL? You get to hear a pretty interesting report done by HBO Sports' own Andrea Kramer, as she got the chance to talk with a few NFL execs, as well as two former NFL ballers who say that marijuana actually helped them get through their respective careers. You don't want to miss that. We'll also talk about last night's Lansing Catholic versus Lansing Waverly boys basketball game that came down to the wire. That's right. I was at Lansing Catholic to witness that one. It was a fun game, folks. You don't want to miss our coverage from that. We'll also debate whether or not Calvin Johnson should retire. No decision made as of yet. Also, Florida State settling in the Jameis Winston rape case. And we will also invite two of our newest Current Sports production assistants, Andrea Urban and Mike Masson. You don't want to miss that, folks. They will join us during the back half of the show. All of that and so much more. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this January 27th. Right, as customary here each and every Wednesday and Monday on the show, we will recap you on the night's biggest boys and girls hoop stars. Last night for the boys, Caleb Barrett, Carson City Crystal, he scored 24 points to lead the Eagles in a non-league 57-48 win over Portland St. Pat's. Brandon Allen of Hazlitt, the senior guard, paced the Vikings with 22 points in a 68-56 loss to Holt. Michael Beno of Ovid Elsie had 22.7 rebounds and 4 steals in the Marauders' 62-43 loss to Hemlock. And Garrett Tabor of Carson City Crystal had 22 points in the Eagles' win over Portland St. Pat's. For the girls, Alicia Smith of Waverly, the junior, had a game-high 27 points for the Warriors in their 67-62 loss to Lansing Catholic. Autumn Kinsman of Mason, the recent Oakland University commit, had 26 points and 10 boards in a 54-40 win over Ionia. Taryn McCutcheon of East Lansing, Michigan State signee, led the Trojans with 22 points in their 56-50 loss to St. John's. And Jalen Williams of Ionia, the junior, had 22 points in that loss to Mason. The Michigan State women's basketball team announced two changes to the upcoming schedule. Michigan State at Maryland, which was, of course, postponed twice due to weather conditions in the Mid-Atlantic. That game will be played on Friday, February 5th at 7 p.m., so mark that on your calendars. With the Michigan State at Maryland game moving to February 5th, the Spartans will now take on Michigan on Wednesday, February 3rd at 7 p.m. The game was originally scheduled, of course, for February 4th. The Spartans are back in action tonight at 7 p.m. against Purdue in what will be Michigan State's third straight home game. The game will be televised on BTN+, and find out how you can win a pair of tickets to go check out the Spartan women tonight by just listening. Don't go anywhere, folks. All right, it is being reported that the University of Michigan intends to name Connecticut Athletic Director Ward Manuel as its next AD. Contract details are still being finalized, but an announcement could happen as soon as this week. A message left for Manuel was not immediately returned. Mark Blauchin, a former Boston Globe sports writer, first reported the hiring on his website. Terrell Austin, the Detroit Lions defensive coordinator, will be one of the guest speakers at the Michigan Football/Baltimore Ravens Coaches Clinic from March 10th to the 12th. It's a brief return to Ann Arbor, where he was the secondary coach under Loy Carr from 1999 to 2002. The two Harbaugh brothers, U of M coach Jim and Ravens coach John, are scheduled to have their entire staffs in attendance at that event. the agent for Calvin Megatron Johnson said today that the Detroit Lions receiver has still not decided whether he will return to the NFL for a 10th season. Johnson confided in several current and former teammates earlier this month that he was contemplating retirement because of the physical toll football has taken on his body. Bus Cook, who represents Johnson since the Lions took him with the second overall pick in 2007, said he does not know a timetable for when Johnson will make his decision. We'll debate whether or not Calvin should return to the NFL in just a sec. The Detroit Pistons, they look to make it 2 straight wins tonight, hosting the Philadelphia 76ers at 7 p.m. The Pistons are coming off a road win over the Utah Jazz earlier this week, a win that snapped a 2-game losing streak for the team. The Pistons have already beaten the 76ers once this year, cruising to a 107-95 road win on December 11th as Reggie Jackson had 9 points and 3 assists in a 27-7 run over the first 8 minutes and 36 seconds that Philadelphia could not overcome. Blake Griffin has apologized for a weekend incident that has left the Los Angeles Clippers without their star forward for an additional 4 to 6 weeks. Hours after the team confirmed that Griffin broke a bone in his right hand while throwing a punch in Toronto, Griffin expressed regret for his actions in a tweet on Tuesday night. Sources previously told ESPN's Michael Eaves that Griffin hit Matilius Testi, the Clippers' assistant equipment manager, on Saturday night in Toronto. Ugh, that's ugly. All right. Former New York Giants safety Tyler Sash. He was found to have an extraordinarily high level of CTE when he died in September at the age of 27. The New York Times reported that on Tuesday. Now, Sash died from an accidental overdose of painkillers, and his family donated his brain to be studied for chronic traumatic encephalopathy. The Times reported that representatives from Boston University and the Concussion Legacy Foundation notified the Sash family that CTE had been diagnosed in Tyler's brain and that the disease, which can only be confirmed only after death, had advanced to a stage rarely seen in someone his age. Again, Tyler Sash was only 27 years old, folks. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Hey, let's start the show.
Smoking weed make the game better?
As a fan?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Why?
I think it's a little bit better than alcohol. A lot of people are laid back. They're not going to go and do anything crazy. They're going to go and eat your refrigerator, or they're going to go eat 12 or 3 things of nachos, you know, but they're not going to go and mug anybody or, like, do anything stupid.
You bring it into the stadium?
No. Not just
between us.
You don't necessarily have to take a joint or a blunt into the stadium.
Right.
You can take like a hash pin.
Right.
Or
what's that?
So you know how everybody's walking around with these cigarettes that are electronic
sure.
now?
Sure.
Well, you can take one in that's hash.
Gotcha.
You know, and it gets you to the same spot. Probably a little higher, you know.
You ever get stopped by any of the security people that come by, ticketed
Never.
Or nothing like that? They just
Never.
Leave you alone.
Yeah, it's not the same anymore. They used to. I remember back in the day, like, they would walk down the parking lot and they would hassle you for smoking weed.
Right.
Not anymore.
And that is how we start today's edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy hump day, ladies and gents. Oh, boy, we got a fantastic show in store for you all. First off, Isaac Constance, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. How you doing, brother? Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to you, Al. I'm doing well. Just another beautiful Wednesday in the winter because it's not that bad outside, I'll tell you what.
Well, I will say this, though. Last night, I went out and covered the Lansing Catholic versus Lansing Waverly boys basketball game. I got out of the gym around, I want to say, about 9:30. The snow was really coming down. It was ugly last night. And on my way back to my apartment, I got in a bit of an accident. I will say that. Crazy, right?
What?
And you know how much I love my baby, okay? You know how much I love my Maximus, all right? But yeah, I had hit like a rough patch of ice, right? So I stopped just in time, because it was at a red light. I stopped just in time and did not run into the back of the car in front of me. But so I'm sitting there waiting on the light to turn green. The car in back of me didn't realize that the concrete was icy. He couldn't slow down. It was a truck. He couldn't slow down. He ran right in back of my car. I run right into the car in front of me, and we all three get out the car and say, "Really?" So the good thing is there was no damage done to any of our cars. It was a miracle, nothing but the higher power there, and I was able to drive home safely. I was like literally like a few blocks away from my apartment complex, but it was ugly last night. I mean, it's nice today. I mean, the road crews have done a miraculous job of cleaning up the streets. But it was ugly last night, brother.
Well, so not even a scratch, though, correct?
Not even a scratch
on the baby, the
Isn't Hoss. That crazy? Not even, like, not one. Now, there was, like, a muff on it, but it was one of those that you can just rub out. That was it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it was, like, the paint from the other car, but that was about it. So
yeah, well, take what you can get. Yeah, walking to class this morning, too. I don't know what it is, but it was the most slippery that I've ever seen on campus. I almost fell 5 or 6 separate times. Just had my feet come up from under me. I caught myself every single time. But I was thinking, boy, they've got to have salt around here. They've got to do their job and pave the side or salt the sidewalks, rather,
right,
so that this doesn't keep happening. So I guess a similar situation with me and the truck driver last night.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad last night. I'm just glad that there was nothing serious where we had to exchange each other's insurance information and get something fixed. So, folks, we've got a fantastic show in store for you all. Again, our phone lines are open. They will stay open all the way up until 2 p.m., 517-355-9527. I might as well get this out the way before we move further here. Again, folks, we give away a pair of tickets to each and every MSU men's and women's home basketball games. And tonight, the MSU women, they get back at it as they take on Purdue. They will host Purdue tonight at 7 p.m. at the Breslin Center. Hey, do you want to check out that game? If so, we make you earn them on the show. That's right. We just don't give them away. Like, caller number two, you've got the tickets. No, you got to earn them. So the trivia question that will win one of our lucky listeners a pair of tickets to check out the MSU women's basketball team take on Purdue tonight at the Breslin Center, again, at 7 p.m. tip-off, is how many career points does Ariel Powers currently have? That is the trivia question. How many career buckets does Ariel Powers have? If you get that answer correct, you will win those tickets and get to enjoy a lovely night of Michigan State women's basketball. Again, the number to call in is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also got to remind you all that, hey, it is Wednesday night, and not only do the MSU women play basketball, but hey, current sports TV tapes at 6 p.m. here on the campus of Michigan State University inside of the Communication Arts and Sciences building. For current sports TV this week, I will be sitting down with Paul Canindike, who is the associate editor of SpartanMag.com. Paul, this is his first time ever gracing our airwaves, and Paul and I will chat about signing day, which takes place the beginning of February. Can you believe that, folks? We'll talk about the MSU recruiting trail. We'll also chat a bit about the MSU men's basketball team and so much more. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is simply go to WKAR.org, sign up online for free, and then it's just a matter of showing up, folks. All right, let's dive into it. Our first topic on the show today concerns what you just heard during that montage to start today's show. That was Andrea Kramer of HBO's Real Sports, and you guys know I'm a huge fan of HBO's Real Sports. They just go beyond just your usual sports stories, folks. And Andrea Kramer, she did a very cool piece that aired for the first time. Well, it was kind of like a follow-up piece because she did an initial report, but she added a few more layers to it during the second time around. But she did a great profile on marijuana use in the NFL. She talked with former NFL tight end Nate Jackson and also former NFL punter Chris Cluey. And I want to play a bit of her report right now. You heard a conversation that she had with a Denver Broncos fan concerning fandom. And, you know, because Colorado right now is one of only, I believe, like four states in the United States of America that actually have legalized recreational marijuana use. And in Colorado, what you see during tailgates is a bit different from the usual tailgate that you'll see here in Michigan. I mean, here, especially on campus at Michigan State, I mean, you see a lot of individuals, what they call pre-gaming, drinking a lot of liquor, a lot of beer before the respective MSU football game in the parking lots. But in Colorado, you see a mix of that. But even more so, you see a lot of individuals smoking marijuana before kickoff at a Denver Broncos football game. And what authorities have seen during that atmosphere is that, you know, they see more of a chill atmosphere. A lot of people are just kind of laid back due to what marijuana does to your body. And a lot of people are looking at it and saying, wow, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, the amount of violent incidents between fans has tremendously gone down because of that. Just a very interesting take. But here is a snippet from that piece done with, again, former NFL tight end Nate Jackson and former NFL punter Chris Cluey concerning, you know, marijuana use and the effects that it has, the positive effects that it has on NFL players. Here's how that report went.
Pain is a constant. You're always battling your body. I mean, just imagine the job description is slamming yourself into another human being as hard as you can, over and over again.
Let's have the body inventory list of injuries.
Broke my tibia in my left foot, tore my MCL in my right knee, tore my groin in my left leg, tore my hamstring off with the bone on the right leg twice, cracked rib, broken fingers, had surgery on the shoulder, separated this shoulder, and then neck, concussion, lower back trauma, cumulative trauma.
How viable is marijuana as a pain-killing alternative?
For me personally, very viable. I prefer it. Marijuana was something that helped me as the season wore on. My body would start to break down. I was in a lot of pain.
I was talking to one of your peers, and when I mentioned to him the notion of pot for pain-killing purposes, he rolls his eyes and he goes, you know what? You smoke pot because you want to get high. I don't want to hear about it as a painkiller. Viability to that?
I don't agree. It offers relief. I don't know exactly why, but it doesn't hurt as much.
Chris Cluey was a punter in the NFL from 2005 through earlier this season.
How much does marijuana use cross cultural lines, social lines, age, you name it,
it's
in the NFL?
Everywhere. I mean, it's, you know, guys from the East Coast, guys from the West Coast, guys from the Heartland, guys from the South.
Is it something that's talked about in the locker room?
It's not like, you know, there's the smoker's corner where everyone goes and talks about, you know, hey, what strain did you smoke last night? It's more, you know, guys will be talking and be like, you know, yeah, I got, you know, I smoked a bit last night and yeah, it helped me feel better. You know, in the locker room when guys talked about it, it wasn't about, you know, I'm gonna go get blazed and tear up the town. It was like, yeah, I smoked a bit and then I went and passed out on the couch because I felt like crap after practice.
So yes, the debate has come to the forefront once again. Again, that was a report from HBO's Real Sports done by their own Andrea Kramer talking with Nate Jackson and NFL punter, former NFL punter Chris Cluey. And their recreational, well, I shouldn't say recreational, their I guess you could say medicinal use of marijuana throughout their careers that helped them during those tough times after practice or after a typical NFL Sunday. So the question on the table for today's show, should the NFL legalize marijuana use? I'm curious to get your thoughts. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I'm also proud to announce that on tomorrow's show, we will invite former NFL League cornerback who played for the New England Patriots and the LA Rams, Michael Haynes. He will join me on the show to talk about that very subject, as well as give us a preview of the Super Bowl and so much more. So I'm curious to know whether or not Mike used marijuana for that use throughout his career as well. But I want to pose it. Isaac, what do you think about this subject that is a bit taboo when really diving into it? But we address it to the forefront. Let's face it head on. Should NFL players be allowed to use marijuana to help them throughout their careers?
Well, one thing is, first off, The NFL cannot transcend state laws. So if it's not legal in a state, there's no way that it should be legal in the NFL in those states, in my opinion. I think, first off, we need to see how the U.S. handles this entire issue before seeing how the NFL does. But I've often gawked at the fact that players such as Sheldon Richardson, a former New York Jets defensive lineman, all pro, everything going right for him, was suspended 4 games for marijuana usage. Ray Rice got 2 games for his domestic violence case and punch that he threw against his then fiance. And I think it's just absurd, the
ramifications for using it. Right.
So I don't so much have a problem with players being punished somewhat for using it, because I'll be honest, if it's illegal, I don't necessarily trust players to use it. But at the same time, then you look what players go to the bar and do afterwards. I mean, with the influence of alcohol, that's a lot more where you get the DUIs and the bar fights and things where NFL players can cause harm. So I think the punish is just, they're unjustified for marijuana. And then the other example is Tyrann Mathieu, who dropped till the 3rd round in the NFL draft. Surely would have been a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. If not being kicked off the LSU team for marijuana usage. So I just think it's inconsistent.
Well, this is my take. And you talk about legality across state lines. Because, again, there's only, I believe, 4 states in America that allow marijuana for recreational use. What I'm saying, Isaac, this is my take on it. I just think the NFL shouldn't test for it. I'm not saying that it's legal. Just don't test for it. You know what I mean? That's the big thing here. I mean, if they're going to use it, they're going let them use it. If it's helping them, because we all know, and you just heard from Nate Jackson, him talk about the countless injuries that he had throughout his career. I think he named about 9 or 10. Why do you have to test for it? If they're using this to help them get through the pain of a daily practice, get through the grind that is an NFL season, let them use it. Let it be like a don't ask, don't tell policy. You know what I mean?
Like that.
If you're going to use it, let them use it. Don't don't test for it to me. And then what I found very interesting, I don't know if you saw the report that Andrea Kramer put together. If you haven't seen it, folks, it's very riveting stuff. Very riveting, and it really adds a different twist on it. Andrea does a great job of not only getting the take from former players or even, well, she didn't talk to current players because no current player is going to come out and say, yeah, I use this all the time. But she talked to former players who used it and still use it. She also talked to fans and really looked at the aspect of how it impacts a state like Colorado. And she also talked to doctors that have done research on this. And one in particular, I forget his name. I'm going to get it throughout the rest of the show. But he's done research on this topic and found that marijuana use does have positive effects on the body and even the brain. And concerning the brain, we all know how big of a touchy subject this has been when looking at how the disease of chronic traumatic encephalopathy has directly impacted how people, how parents, and our youth have viewed the game of football. And he has found that marijuana use can possibly help in that discussion as well. So the very first question that comes to mind when discussing this: should the NFL just do away with their rule of no marijuana and let these players use it? Is number one, what positive effects can it have on the player and also the league? That's number one. If it helps these players, why not?
Well, and I think the other part of this is, you know, I said in states where it's illegal, I'm not necessarily sure that the NFL should be stepping in there and saying, go ahead and use it. But at the same time, in many of those states, the use of medical marijuana is legal to help relieve and ameliorate pain from things like football or chronic back issues, things like that. So if that's the case, I mean, you know, these NFL guys have more of a toll taken on their bodies than just about anybody else. I mean, no matter what the profession or job is. So in that case, I think it definitely makes sense for the NFL to kind of say, either turn a blind eye to that or say, if these players are using it for pain-relieving purposes, go for it. Because, like you said, also for the brain, that's such a big issue for the NFL these days, combating the concussion worries that many parents have, many viewers have when watching players play. And if the NFL can do anything to curb the effects of concussions and helmet-to-helmet contact, I think they should go for that. But from the fan perspective, I've got to be honest, don't necessarily see the benefits of smoking marijuana before the game. It's kind of a relaxing drug,
right,
from my understanding.
The argument that Andrea had, and that she did a great job of profiling in her report, is that alcohol ramps up your energy. It makes you want to do stupid stuff, you know what I mean, and go out there and just act a fool. While on the alternative, I wouldn't know, but marijuana, I guess, kind of just chills you out. You know what I mean? Just kind of chill out, mellow out. Everything is woosah with the world, I guess. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I don't know. I guess it's how that was her take on it. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing with football, though. Football is not really a woosah, let me sit back
for
and
fans,
chill and watch these
right.
two guys kill each other game.
But how many violent incidents have we seen, you know, fans involved in? I mean, I think last year when we did a few of our headliners on the show, I mean, a few fans were killed due to just rowdiness after a game. So I don't know. I mean, I think more research will have to be done on that end of things. But this is the thing I will be worried about on the flip side of this whole thing. Excessive use, that will be another problem.
Yep.
You know, players maybe coming in before a practice or a game completely blown out of their minds. I will be worried about that a little bit. So I think you have to monitor it to a degree. But also the alternative to not using marijuana has historically been painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
Players who are injured and are going through a specific illness with their body have historically been put on painkillers in the NFL, which have not been monitored. I mean, how many times did we hear about...
Well, there was a scandal a few years ago about Saints players and Sean Payton overusing Vicodin.
Exactly.
Getting addicted.
I mean, didn't you look at the story about Mike Webster, who's profiled in the latest Will Smith movie called Concussion, and how he talked about, you know, how, you know, sometimes you walk into an NFL locker room back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and, you know, there was just a bowl of painkillers sitting there like they're free Skittles. I mean, come on, dude. Mm-hmm. And we all know how addicting painkillers are, to the point of where it really messes with your mind and you become a drug addict at the end of the day. Marijuana, not so much. So I'm curious, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break, Isaac. When we come back, we'll profile the Lansing Catholic versus Lansing Waverly boys basketball game from last night. It was a complete thriller, folks. I was in the house for that one. And we'll also talk about Calvin Johnson, whether or not Megatron should return for a 10th NFL season. All of that and more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports. Boy, oh boy, what a game it was last night, ladies and gents, at Lansing Catholic High School. A battle between the CAAC White and the CAAC Red. Lansing Catholic hosting Lansing Waverly. Fun game. Both teams coming into this matchup undefeated in their respective conferences. Lansing Catholic entering this game at 8-0, undefeated on the year. Lansing Waverly at 7-2. Entering this game. Very interesting game all around. I mean, Lansing Catholic, they really led most of the way. Had, 29-27 at halftime and 45-43 after three quarters, but just couldn't shake Waverly. I mean, they were like a pesky bee last night. They wouldn't go away. The Warriors finally caught Lansing Catholic at 52-52 with 2 minutes left. And as that game went on, I mean, there was a huge bucket with about 1 minute left in the fourth quarter. And Owen Rush, from the left side of the court, he puts Lansing Catholic up by three by hitting a huge three-pointer. It was just a fun game. Tony Poljan, they threw a lot of bodies at him throughout the night. He finished with 13 points. Emmanuel Gildo, he is fantastic. That was my first time seeing Emmanuel Gildo play. He had 15 points. And seven fouls in the fourth quarter by Waverly really proved to be the eventual difference maker in that game. So what you're about to hear exactly from head coach, first-year head coach Eric Trojanowicz and Owen Rush talking about first that unbelievable moment. Owen Rush just sealing the deal with that huge three-pointer, the crowd going absolutely insane in the membrane. Check it out.
I called time out there late and just told him that – we can't get into a running game with them. We got to be patient on offense and work it around. When we worked around, we got great shots on offense tonight. But when we were rushed, we were forcing things in transition. We were forcing things within our offense. And once we settled down, Owen Rush hit that three in the corner, which was huge for us. He had his feet set. We went inside out. He set his feet, and that was a huge shot for us tonight.
Paul J made a great move. Got to give it to him. He drew the defender to me. And I just got an open look and happened to hit it. So I was pretty excited, pretty good win.
Owen, he was all smiles, and I didn't really say a whole lot to him after that bucket.
Stay positive and finish right because, you know, it takes a lot to finish right. That was a big team win. Credit to our bench. They were cheering us on constantly. Fans came out. It was just a great team win. Yeah, it was tough. It was tiring. Credit Waverly. They're a great opponent. Ran a lot. You know, ran us through tired. But, big win going into Willie on Friday. Big momentum. Stay in I now.
Craig does a great job with his team over there at Waverly. They trap so hard. I don't think we'll see another team the rest of the year that traps as well as they do. They just come at you, and sometimes my kids get nervous, and we had a lot of turnovers tonight because of it. It's a tough week for us this week. We had Waverly tonight, obviously, and then we got Williamston back in the league on Friday. So we got a tough couple days of practice here. Jason does a great job over there with Williamston. I don't think they've lost since they played us, and maybe East Lansing beat them just shortly after us, but I think they've won six or seven in a row, too. It's going to be a great atmosphere on Friday night. Riley's having a tremendous year. He's leading the area in scoring. I think he's right around 37 a game. He's had 40 and 44 his last two games, so he's just a tough kid to contain. I've never seen a kid get a shot off as quick as he does, and they do a great job over there.
So, again, that was head coach of the Lansing Catholic boys basketball team, Eric Trojanowicz, and his star guard. I mean, he's just a great shooter, just a great player overall, Owen Rush, the senior guard. So, excuse me, Lansing Waverly actually 8-2 entering that game. So they're 8-3 overall right now, still 5-0 in the CAAC red. Lansing Waverly will take on DeWitt this Friday. Lansing Catholic, again, undefeated on the year, 9-0. 5-0 in the CAAC White, and you just heard from head coach Eric Trojanowicz. They will take on Williamston this Friday. A very fun team to watch. And now, when looking at Lansing Catholic, they're ranked 5th in the Class B poll by the Associated Press. A very impressive squad that can beat you inside, beat you outside. I mean, when evaluating this roster, I mean, you talk about, of course, the name that you hear all the time is, you know, CMU-bound player now, Tony Poljan, who's just a force. But, you know, you look at this roster, I mean, Tony Palmer, you know, Mitchell McInnes, Owen Rush, Connor Dart, Joey Feta, they are so deep, Isaac. And this is a team that I really think, when we're talking about March and this year is dwindling down, I really think the Lansing Catholic Cougars have a legitimate shot at going all the way and competing for a state championship, as well as Waverly as well. Waverly has a lot of firepower on their squad as well.
Well, and Al, it's amazing to see how this basketball year is shaping up. Of course, you mentioned Tony Poljan. He's been excellent. He was, I believe, Lansing Catholic's leading scorer yesterday, too, with 13 points. And Lansing Catholic, undefeated still. And, you know, you look at them, you look at East Lansing, we've really got quite a magnitude of just teams that can compete and play at the next level. You've got a lot of college-bound players in the area, and it's going to be exciting to see. When you talk about last night's game, I wasn't there, but from what I'm reading, it's just an amazing comeback by Lansing Catholic in the last 30 seconds.
Well, it really, yeah, because there was a moment where Waverly went up, I think, by 4 points, and I'm sitting there saying, okay, they got to have some big buckets here. They got to have some big stops. And I will say this, and I never say this, I'm not that type of dude to come on and blame a game on the referees, and I'm not doing that right here. But I will say, and I'm honest here, the referees that officiated that game last night were horrible. I mean, it was a badly officiated game. It was one of the worst officiated games I've seen in the years that I've been covering high school hoops, Isaac. It was that bad. I'm not exaggerating. There was even one point where Craig Fields, Waverly has the basketball. Well, no, excuse me. Lansing Catholic has the basketball. There's a trap. It was a four-court press by Waverly. There's a trap on the left baseline. The referee's standing there looking at it. I thought a foul was going to be called. The whistle blows. I'm thinking it's a foul. But the referee turns over to the Waverly bench and says, Waverly timeout, when Craig Fields didn't yell a timeout at all. It was someone from the crowd that clearly yelled timeout. The referee got confused and he turns over and says, Waverly timeout. Craig Fields, I have never seen the man so angry in my life. He almost lost it. I mean, it was just a weird atmosphere last night. But with that being said, and again, seven fouls called on Waverly in that fourth quarter. I mean, and in a tight game like that, that can be your difference maker. And I think it was to a certain degree because there were some fouls called down low on Tony Poljan. He went to the free throw line, made it close. Lancey Catholic wouldn't go away. And then, you had Owen Rush. Lancey Catholic, I will say, they have been so good this year at executing in close games because they have guys that just don't get rattled in big moments. But they're a fun team to watch. And I think Craig Fields, again, the good thing about this game for Lansing Waverly is that this wasn't a conference game. They still have an opportunity, of course, at making a lot of noise in their division, which they are leading at 5-0 in the CAAC Red. They lost last night, but it doesn't count towards their conference record. So this is just a very good and entertaining out-of-conference matchup for both of these teams and great preparation for Waverly as they take on DeWitt this weekend, on Friday, I should say, and Lansing Catholic as they now move on to take on Williamson. But
if Williamson wins that, they jump to the top of the CAAC White, so a huge game there.
Easier said than done. That's going to be a very good game, though, without a doubt. You know, and I was talking with Zach Beards of WILX TV 10 last night. We had Zach on the show earlier this week, and we were just talking, and you mentioned the talent that's around this area. I really believe, Isaac, that the basketball talent in the Lansing area is so slept on, like snored on so much. And I think a perfect example of that is when you look at the number one team in Division II, College Hoops, Lansing Community College, most of that roster is compiled of Lansing basketball stars of the past, guys like Javon Haynes. And I just think it speaks volumes to the talent around here. You hear Detroit a lot when talking about basketball talent. I grew up in Detroit, and I got a chance to see those respective teams growing up, and I know about the talent in the D. But I will say that the talent here in Lansing can directly compete with the talent in Detroit. I must say that, Isaac.
Well, check it out. LCC, I think you mentioned, was their number one or at least were a few weeks ago number one.
They still are.
Yeah. Unbelievable program there. Like you mentioned, most of those are former Lansing stars or Lansing area stars. Then Frederick Edmond over at Western Kentucky. That kid can play. You and I had the pleasure of watching him this summer at the Pro-Am tournaments. And
he's Anthony Clemens at Iowa.
Anthony Clemens. Right. And then seeing what Bryn Forbes and Denzel Valentine are, of course, doing and leading this Michigan State team to really what seems to be another great season. It's unbelievable looking at the level of competition and how each year, the team that you might expect to be great falls and then vice versa. It's just all over the place here, and it's really chaotic in terms of the results that you can never expect something to happen.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I want to give these kids a shout-out on this LCC men's basketball team. Just these are a few of the local kids who play right here in this area. Edward Smith, he balled out for Okemos High School. Cullen Smith, Holt High School. Then you move up the list here. Javon Haynes, East Lansing High School. James Codette, Williamson High School. Brian Morton, Lansing Eastern High School. Michael Johnson from Jackson High School. I mean, that's more than half of the roster of, again, the number one basketball team in college hoops, community college hoops right now, and in the stars. And half of that roster comes from right here in mid-Michigan. That says a lot. And Mike Ingram has done a remarkable job with that program as well. He's an unbelievable coach. Folks, call in and be a part of the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got our good, dear friend, Ray from Indiana on the line. Ray, how you doing, brother?
Skipper.
How you doing, my man? Always good hearing from you.
Thank you. Same year here. Hey, I want to go over it. I had a question. Me and my cousin from California were arguing the other day about the lion cheating Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. He loves them guys to death. I just the opposite. He thought that he's the greatest coach of all time. I think that's a joke. I said he couldn't carry Vince Lombardi's jockstrap. He couldn't. I mean, the guy won 8 world championships. He only lost one time in a championship game with the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
That's
right.
Why that trophy was made. And he never got caught cheating and lying like Bill Belichick. And I'm not saying that they wouldn't have beat the St. Louis Rams back when Kurt Warner was there. But Warner threw two interceptions in that game, and I still say right today, if that guy videotaped, he knew the place. They were 14-point underdogs in that game, and I'm not saying they still wouldn't have won the game, but why do you have to lie and cheat to go with it? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know the Patriots certainly, and Bill Belichick certainly gets a bad rep for, of course, you know, the whole Spygate situation, and then most recently the Deflategate situation, but the man has won, what, 6 Super Bowls, 7-time AFC champion, 2-time NFC champion, 3-time AP NFL Coach of the Year.
How many he lost?
I'm not sure. I have to look that one up. But you know, you gotta admit though, when you evaluate Bill Belichick's resume, Ray, I mean, it stacks up against some of the best to ever do it. Now, in my opinion,
how much you could get Vince Lombardi's record out?
Right. Looking at Vince's, I mean, he was a 6-time NFL champion. So when comparing that to Bill Belichick, they have the same amount of NFL championships. 2-time Super Bowl champion. Again, this, you know, looking at, so 8-time, I guess you'd say, champion overall.
Right.
So he's got two more than Belichick. 1959 NFL Coach of the Year, 1961 NFL Coach of the Year, 9-1 playoff record, 34-6 regular season record, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer, Washington Redskins Hall of Famer.
Okay, he's 9-1. What's Bill Belichick's playoff record?
Let's see here. Looking at his postseason record, he is 23-10, so a 70% postseason record, which is very, very good, Ray. So even
I
know Vince Lombardi.
I'm just saying what's Lombardi, 90%?
Well, he's not. Well, according to what I have up, Isaac, I don't know what you have over there, but I'm looking at his playoff record. He's 9-1, which that's a little bit weird. I'm looking at
90%.
There were less teams back in that era.
There definitely were. So his win loss record though, 105-35-6. That's unbelievable. But Lombardi's the standard, Ray. We all know that.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Coach Wooden in basketball. That's the standard. There's going to be no coach to eclipse what, you know, a Lombardi or a Wooden, you know, did in their football and basketball coaching careers. But there have been greats to come after, and I think Bill Belichick deserves to be one of those guys because he's great.
Wooden, let's go back to Wooden there. He won a couple with Walt Hazard and some other fast players, and then he got Bill Walton and Kareem Jabbar. There hasn't been any two centers that have come along like that ever since.
Right. The talent has to be there. But you got to have talent in order to win a championship, though, Ray. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
You got to get the recruits. How are you guys doing in football recruiting this year?
Well, we had Mike Griffith on from MLive.com yesterday, and he kind of broke down the recruiting trail for Michigan State. I mean, they had 20 signees by the end of August, Ray. They've been – it's kind of an odd period because around this time – I mean, you start usually seeing of news upon news every single day throughout this week. You know, what are we like, you know, less than a week away, I think, from signing day, which is February 3rd. We're actually exactly a week away from signing day. And usually Michigan State, at this time of the year, you start to see headlines left and right, Michigan State signs, blah, 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 every single day. But they had the bulk of their recruits for next year already committed, verbally at least, back in August. So it's a weird time, a different time for Michigan State.
Where they got them ranked? Where they got Michigan State?
Number 9. They're number 9 according to Rivals.com. Michigan, your boys, are ranked number 4.
In the country?
Yes, in the country.
Okay, well, I know Michigan, I hear they're in on that number 1 recruit defensive tackle, and it's down to Alabama, Michigan, and a couple other teams.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to not decide till the day of signing day, but where's Ohio State ranked?
I have to look that one up. Let's see here. I have to bring it up for you, Ray. I'll be sure to mention it in a second. But, I mean, Isaac, Ray would have loved yesterday's show because we were talking about, of course, the moral standards of what Jim Harbaugh has done when concerning Rashad Weaver and Eric Swenson and their despise when it comes to how their whole recruiting situation went down when concerning the U of M football program. Did you hear about those two stories, Ray?
No, would you pass it on to me right now?
Will do. I'll send you the link via email of yesterday's show, and you can check it out.
I don't have a computer. Oh. I don't have a computer at all. I'm a Stone Age guy. I just got a telephone.
Gotcha.
I just wonder, what were they doing? I know last year he went out and got these players' quarter. Who's his quarterback going to be for next year?
That's the question. I forget the kid's name.
Be Shane Moore still? I'd say he's
no.
in the front driver's seat.
No, it's another kid. I was reading this yesterday. I forget his name. It's another kid. I forget his name, but it looks as though he may be the front runner right now.
Didn't they go out and get a guy from Houston like they did last year and sneak one off somebody else's roster?
I don't know about that one, Ray. I have to look that one up. But I'm still trying to look up the because I was reading
John
the whole article.
John O'Korn from Houston.
Exactly. John O'Korn. That's his name. He's the front runner right now. That's the name I was reading last night about Michigan's future quarterback. So it looks like he may be your guy next year, Ray.
Where is he coming from?
Houston, right?
Yeah,
Houston.
Yeah, it's the one from Houston. But somebody told me that he went out like he did last year and he got a player that wanted to transfer and he got – how can he get these guys in and not have to sit out a year? That's what I wonder.
Well, we have to do some more research on that, Ray.
All right, buddy. We'll talk again.
My man, Ray from Indiana. Always an intriguing call. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with Bill Belichick and his record, though. I mean, yeah, you bring up Spygate and, yeah. I mean, I believe this to a degree, Isaac. If you want to be great or if you want to be the best at what you do, you have to find certain loopholes to kind of push against the grain of the rules a little bit. I mean, I always bring up Michael Jordan, who I think is the greatest basketball player to ever live. Michael, I never get this 60-minute sit-down he did with a reporter. And when she talked about the tricks that he used to use during an NBA game where he would pull somebody's arm to get by him off his first step if the referee wasn't looking. The greats find those loopholes, find those certain advantages, quote-unquote, to get by, and that's kind of the art that makes them great at the end of the day. That's just me.
In fairness, there is a difference between clearly infringing upon the rules and a loophole. You know what I'm saying? They're in the NBA.
But cheating is cheating at the end of the day. If you break the rules,
committing a foul call that the NBA referees don't call.
If you're cheating, you're cheating, Isaac. That's how I look at it. If you're looking for an edge to get over with that goes against the rules, it's cheating. I don't care what now the magnitudes of it certainly vary, but they all fall in the same pot as cheating.
Listen, I think Bill Belichick deserves all the accolades because you're right. The greats look for a way to get ahead. At the same time, how much do I think it should be diminish his accomplishments? Very minimally, just because they did not have any bearing whatsoever on the seasons or those games, respectively, if you ask me. However, I think there is a difference between Bill Belichick looking for what he can do to spy on other teams or deflate footballs, and Michael Jordan maybe throwing around the hook while getting around a defender. I think that's a little bit different, don't you?
I don't know. They all fall in the same category to me. If you're cheating, you're cheating. I mean, again, there's levels to it. You know what I mean? There's certainly levels to it, as Meek Mill would say, but at the same time, man, it all falls in the same category. Folks, we have 10 minutes left. Don't go anywhere. We're going to hit our second break. When we come back, we will talk to two of our newest production assistants here on WKAR's Current Sports, Andrea Urban and Mike Masson. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Isaac, I don't believe we had anybody call in for the trivia question, did we?
Not just yet, still can.
I don't think that we've ever given away a pair of MSU women's basketball tickets here on the show. Like, every time we give a trivia question, nobody calls in. If it's men's basketball tickets, oh, they're flocking to the phones. Come on, show the ladies some love. The trivia question to win those tickets. You know what? Well, I may have to throw that out. I may have to throw out the trivia question. I may have to say caller number one will win these tickets because it's kind of a tough question. You kind of have to dig for it. How many career points does Ariel Powers have?
Well, did we not give away the tickets from the last one though with Ariel Powers and the other three leading scorers? Wasn't that a successful giveaway?
I can't remember. I don't know. We have to go back in the archives and see, but I don't think we've ever, maybe one time, maybe that was the one time. I don't know. Let's go with caller number one. For whoever's the first caller to call in these last 10 minutes will win a pair of tickets to check out the MSU women's basketball team take on Purdue. All you got to do is just call. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That's how easy it is, all right? And got to remind you all, hey, it is Wednesday. Tonight at 6 p.m., I'll be chatting with Paul Canindyke, associate editor of SpartanMag.com. He will be my guest here on the show. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is simply sign up online at WKAR.com. Or, well, they both have just entered the studio here, and we do have a call. Look at that. Right on the See, if I make it really easy, people are going to call in, I guess, right? I guess Isaac is going to man the phones right now. But let's. They just walked in. Studio S here at WKAR Radio, where we, of course, tape WKAR's current sports. And throughout this semester, just like we do each and every semester here on the show, we bring along about eight or so production assistants that help out with the daily duties that pertain to current sports radio and beyond. Of course, it's a new semester. It's January, and we have two of the newest Journalism 418 production assistants that will be working with us throughout the semester, Andrea Urban and Mike Masson. Andrea and Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I tell you what, they bring a lot of energy already in just the first week. Here on the show. I first off want to introduce you guys to the people. We'll start with left to right, my left. Mike, I want to talk about your journey to get here. You are a senior. I think you both of you guys are seniors right here at Michigan State University. Mike, what piqued your interest to go into this field, and what's your goal? What do you want to do, my man?
I mean, I'm just a sports junkie, always have been. So I figured what better job than to be talking about sports or being involved with sports? Might as well go sports journalism, you know?
Without a doubt. What internships have you had so far?
I interned at WLNS-TV6 last year from January to August.
That's the family right there. Shout out to Uncle Fred.
Oh, yeah.
And I currently work with Big Ten Network Student U here at Michigan State.
That's also family. Rick Church.
Yes.
I mean, he got me my first on-air gig. So, there we go. So we got a connection there. Andrea, what about yourself? What piqued your interest? Why do you want to do this?
You know, for me, I think sports is a lot more than just wins and losses. I love the fact of, like, you know, how did these players get here? How, like, every team has a story, and I kind of want to tell it. And personally, I want to rep women in this field. I want to kill it, and I want to represent us because women do watch sports. Women do enjoy them. So that's kind of what I'm into.
Now, what about your internship path?
Oh my gosh, this might take. No, I'm kidding. Channel 6 as well. WLNS. Uncle Fred, he's awesome. I am now hired there. The internship turned into a part-time gig.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And then I did Student U for a little bit with Big Ten Network. I have done home TV. You know, you're a home TV alum. We can connect on that.
That's another. Folks, I had no life when I was in college. Yeah. You see, if you're home TV, Big Ten Network, Student U, WLNS TV6, but the hard work pays off, doesn't it? So keep proceed. What else have you done?
I got to do a lucky gig this summer with Little League World Series with ESPN. I got to be there for 2 weeks in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and that has built my connections to allow me for when they come to campus for College Game Day. I saw you hosting.
Yes, I was.
The
fun time.
College Game Day basketball. And, you know, I got to be there. And it was nice because they hired me because I was able to run favors for them, but journalism favors. Like, I could grab them a specific cable or a specific piece of equipment that they need. And that's because of my experience that I've learned at Channel 6, home TV, and here at Michigan State.
Definitely. So I'm curious, before we throw this thing over back to Mike, because I have a few more questions for you guys before we get off the air here.
Uh-huh.
I'm curious because you did a stint with the Little League World Series. Did you cover Monet Davis at all?
No, she came. She was the year before, and she came and visited. Her team that she played on was in the championship game in the World Series game versus Japan. Her team.
Right.
So she came and she was there, and, you know, she made an appearance, you know, did a quick interview with Jamie Sire, the sideline reporter, and then kind of got out of there because people were swarming her. I mean,
she's unbelievable.
That documentary came out about her. It was like a little piece about her. I think you can watch it on Netflix.
Maybe.
And and she just now, her fan base has grown, and it's kind of crazy how these 13 and 14 year olds are now athlete celebrities.
That's what the Little League World Series, that forum, allows some of these kids to be elevated on that platform because they're on television. It's a huge event. Gotta love that. Very interesting journey. So, Mike, I want to know what you guys will be covering for us. Mike, what are you going to be, what sort of stories will you be bringing to the table for us here at WKAR?
My beat will be men's tennis here at Michigan State. So, you know, hopefully just bringing the the public into the world of tennis. It's not really a sport that gets much coverage around here, and I'm a big fan of the sport, so I think it deserves more coverage, and hopefully I can bring some stories out that people will be interested in.
And that is very intriguing because tennis is sort of a niche, you know, fandom, if you will. I mean, I watch everything, but it's not every day I come across a big tennis fan. How did that fandom grow for you?
I don't know. I kind of just saw it on ESPN back, you know, probably about 10 years ago and just started slowly following it. And I don't know, I like the individuality of it.
Right.
I like how individuals can make big names for themselves and it's just them. It's not team-based.
Love that. Yeah. So you're probably glued to your television with the Australian Open going on right now, right?
I've had a couple late nights the past few, about right. 10 days or so.
I'm sure. Looking forward to that, my man. Mm-hmm. Mike Masson, gotta love that. And Andrea, what will you be covering for us?
You know, I'm going to bring you some local sports, Okemos High School Athletics. Tonight, they are opening their strength training, conditioning and strength training center officially to staff and faculty and students. And this is going to, like, it's going to consist of so many technologies and rehabilitations and programs and all this cool stuff. So I thought Okemos High School has a lot going for them. They just got sponsored by Adidas.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. Wow.
So I thought they would be the right move for this semester because they're just bringing a lot to the table. So I want to grow the information from local sports.
Gotta love that. Well, folks, I tell you what, this is going to be one fantastic semester. Again, you can catch Andrea and Mike's work throughout the semester here on the show. Gotta love that. Thanks so much, guys, for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Gotta love that. All right, Isaac, who do we have? Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. Paul from, well, actually, I didn't get where he was from, but he's coming to the Communication Arts and Sciences building to pick it up right after the show. So,
okay.
Wait for him. First caller out. A minute after you made the announcement that all you had to do was call in, we get a caller.
So I just do that from now on when it comes to the MSU women's hoop team? Just say, hey, caller number three.
Well, let's start with some cupcake questions.
Yeah, I just got to give them jump balls.
You know, lay it down until finally someone calls in.
Exactly. I agree. All right, folks. Well, wow. Time flies when you're having fun. Man, it's been a great show. On tomorrow's show, I'm excited. We're going to be inviting Mike Haynes to the show. He is an American former NFL cornerback who played for the New England Patriots and the LA Raiders. He uses speed, quickness, and range to become both a premier defensive back and an outstanding punt return specialist. He is a 9-time Pro Bowl selection, 1984 NEA NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He was on the NFL's 75th anniversary all-time team. He's the 1976 NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, the guy's accolades just runneth over, okay? So you don't want to miss tomorrow's show. It's going to be a great one. We'll also give you a preview on Friday of my sit-down with Paul Canundike, of course, associate editor of SpartanMag.com. Going to be a great rest of the week. But, hey, thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a great afternoon, and as always, be easy, people.